T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Skyline. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
That's the best start to the show we've ever had. So, does anyone know what happened? Did you try to explain to them why you lost it during the update?
I did not have my headphones on my head at the moment when the update started. I'm sorry. But, and then Elena handed me hers to kind of make sure I could hear the sound bites, and there's a man bun attached to it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep it together.
I'm
40.
The man bun of shame has been attached to a pair of headphones that have already sabotaged one update. Let's see how it goes for the rest of the show.
Great start to the show.
That was hysterical. Just watching you try to hold it in. Just watching you try to get through that was the best part of
the show. I couldn't even put them on with a straight face. I couldn't get through my update. I apologize, everyone. I will get back on track in about 20 minutes.
Apologize for nothing. That was beautiful. Welcome to the Damon Bruce Show. It is great to have you here today. Obviously, we have man buns that you're interested in. We have interns that we will be evaluating harshly and shaming with man, but both of them are now delivered. We have the black man bun. We have the brown man bun. Is there a blonde man bun?
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, maybe we need one of those, too.
I'm sure there is.
Do we have any blonde interns? Not really.
Not really. We're good with the brown. I don't want the man bun anywhere near me anymore.
That was fantastic. Welcome to the show. It is great to have you here, and it really is great to have a little bit of a laugh, because today, I mean, all you got to do is go online, turn on TV, look at your phone for a second, and realize there's a situation down in Southern California that obviously is no laughing matter at all, just another mass shooting in the United States, and obviously that is something that's incredibly depressing. It's incredibly common, and it's incredibly sad that I'm sure we'll be reporting on another one within, 2-3 days.
God,
it's just
too
that sad. So I'll tell you, in the name of doing what we sat down here to do today, the only shooters that we're going to be talking about are going to be on the Golden State Warriors and on the basketball court. And we will be a nice little slice of distraction, but obviously, as something so serious is going on in Southern California, our neighbors to the south are not that far away from us, even though they're very far away from us.
Yeah.
So many people know so many people down there. As a matter of fact, my girlfriend is in L.A. right now.
Oh, is she?
Working, business trip. So, you know, it's just incredibly sad that, this happened at a home for people with mental disabilities. And, you know, we'll step right over this as if nothing happened, I'm sure. The same way we stepped over a pile of dead children at Sandy Hook.
Nothing happened.
Nothing's going to change. So
my hearts and prayers, though, go to the families affected by this. It's just
absolutely
horrific.
To all the police and all the first responders who are down there trying to work so hard to make things right. Our hearts are certainly with them, but we will put our thoughts and our mind on the fun little world of sports that we get to, kick around and enjoy. Sam Amick is going to join us today at 3:30. We got an awful lot of NBA to go over with him, not just the Warriors. We get so fixated on this team, we kind of forget that there's a whole league actually revolving around them. They seem to be the center of the basketball universe, but we'll get into the rest of the things going on around the NBA, a little on Kobe for sure with Sam Amick, and he's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We've got Trey Wingo coming up at 4 o'clock. We're going to go all over the NFL. I think I tweeted that we will blanket the NFL with Trey Wingo today. Nate Burleson coming up at 6 o'clock. We got an awful lot to get into in our 5 o'clock hour as well. Whole bunch of calls that we're going to be taking throughout the day. And tonight, when this Warrior game, what time does it officially tip off, Gianna?
I believe 4:30,
4:30.
I'll verify.
Yeah, it's either 7 or 7:30 East Coast time. The game's going to be tipping off in Charlotte. And when the game wraps up sometime before we're off the air, Matt Stymans is just going to hop right in with us. And we will begin a little Dubs post game for you as soon as that game goes final, whether my show is final or not. And I might even squeeze the last segment out of Stymans entirely because Indiana's playing Duke tonight. And I'm already completely distracted by that. So I don't know how much use I'm going to be to anybody in the 6 o'clock hour, to be totally honest with you. Now, I have an admission here. And it's hard for me to talk about this. You know, as a Midwesterner, that's the thing. It's weird. I live on the West Coast now. I'm definitely an East Coast prick at heart. But there's Midwestern sensibilities ingrained in me from the time that I spent going to IU. Indiana playing Duke tonight. I dread losing to Duke. But this is a big game. And look, I get excited for little Indiana basketball games. So big Indiana basketball games really do get me excited, even though I'm nervous about the outcome. But here's the deal. It's basketball season and Indiana no longer has my full attention. Like when I'm done here tonight, Gianna, I'm going to hop in the Sonnen Porsche Boxster.
What's that?
The Sonnen Porsche Boxster. Thank you so much for asking. The holiday sale's on right now, by the way. You can get a Sonnen Porsche. Like, boom, Boxster can be yours. And the price is right, believe me. Anyway, so when this is wrapped up today, I'm heading to Monahans to watch as much of the Indiana game as I possibly can. Big, you know, alumni viewing party. It's an Indiana bar. And they damn well better have the Warrior game on, too, because if you would have said, what could ever distract you from Indiana Duke? I'm like, they haven't invented a sporting contest that could distract me from Indiana Duke. Gianna, the Warriors are my basketball side piece.
Are they?
It's official. Look, I'm married to the Hoosiers, and I'm going to love this gal forever. I really, really will. The Hoosiers are my gal. But lately, they've been boring me a little bit, and I got a little dime trophy piece that I am playing sugar daddy with, and it is the Golden State Warriors. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife? That means keep your eyes and your lusty thoughts to yourself. Well, now when I close my eyes to have a little personal romantic basketball fantasy time, I'm not thinking about Indiana uniforms anymore. I see the Warriors when I lust about basketball mentally. That's how much fun they are to watch. This is how good this team is. I don't know where basketball is on your chart of what aesthetically pleases you about sports. Like, I love the majesty of a well-struck home run. Sounds good, looks good. You're at the ballpark, it smells good, it's beautiful. There may be nothing in sports more dramatic than a straight-up knockout in a boxing ring. You know, today's contest is over right here. Gone. Z, good night. Very dramatic finish. A well-put-together football drive can be a thing of beauty. A perfect flea flicker. You know, there's little plays throughout everything. Hockey. A well-run hockey fast break, especially if they give you that overhead angle above the ice and you can see the players moving like X's and O's and it's all tic-tac-toe-y. It's beautiful. Nothing, to me anyways, is prettier in sports than five guys playing as one, sharing the ball, oversharing the ball, creating shots for themselves, creating shots for their teammates. There's nothing prettier in sports than a basketball team that is just click, click, clicking. And right now, the Warriors are my Kate Upton. That's my Kate Upton. That's my gal. That the Golden State Warriors are the sexiest, prettiest thing, to the point that now when I have my touch myself basketball fantasy moments, it's them, not my Indiana Hoosiers. They're the best. I cannot wait for them to play tonight. Indiana Duke would normally, on any other December 2nd, would be enough for me. It's not enough. If you told me you can go someplace tonight and you can only watch Indiana Duke and you don't get the Warrior game, I don't go to that place. And I never thought that I would reach that place mentally. Warriors are my new side piece. They're so hot. Obviously, Steph Curry's got Del Curry Knight weighing over him. What's pressure to this team, though? There really isn't any. We got so much to get into. Guess who might not be moving to L.A. after all? The Left at the Altar Oakland Raiders. We're going to have that for you today. And when we come on back, a couple calls and a new NFL record that's hard to celebrate, but we will. That's next.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Good to have you around this Wednesday afternoon. We got a Warrior game coming up in no less than an hour from now. It is Del Curry night. I don't even know. What's the name of the building the Hornets play in? Who the hell knows?
We can find out.
The Who the Hell Knows Center will be hosting Del Curry night tonight. And, you know, people are like, well, geez, there's going to be more pressure on Steph to perform well in front of it. Look, no, no. The pressure of the NBA Finals didn't even really get to Steph Curry. So Del Curry night is probably not going to get to Steph Curry either. Do you realize how many Del Curry nights there have been in Steph's house? Like every night was Del Curry night.
Time Warner Cable Arena.
Wow, that sounds like a fun place to go spend your free time, doesn't it? Jeez. I wonder if it takes anywhere between it's like a 4-hour window to get in there. It's like the cable company gives you a 4-hour window.
Yeah, got it.
All right, so we have a new NFL record, everyone. Congratulations. I would like to personally congratulate the new NFL record that you probably didn't even know about it, because it's tough to celebrate because you're kind of bringing up some bad things if you bring this up, but it's hard to celebrate. That won't stop us. No NFL players were arrested during the month of November. Unless, of course, you know, one or two names were arrested at the very, very tail end of November, and we'll find out here, because we thought that September was an arrest-free month in the NFL, when truth be told, there was someone arrested late enough in September where we didn't know about it until October.
Got it.
So that spoiled the clean slate we thought November had. And it is possible an arrest was made in the last 48 hours that we don't know about, and we'll hit the wire service a little bit later on. But unless that happens, as of now, Mike Rosenberg reporting, we're clean. We're clean. The NFL got through the month of November without an arrest, and that would mark the first arrest-free month for the NFL in more than 6 years.
Wow.
You like that? You like that?
I do like that. Look at this league of law-abiding citizens and civic-minded alertness. And look, I don't know what's going on here. Other than maybe guys are starting to get the message.
I hope so. That would be nice.
Maybe guys are starting to get the message. There is nothing you can do from a I'm screwing up tonight standpoint that doesn't hit the headlines. Do you see this? What does Jahlil Okafor have? More double-doubles or street brawls in Boston right now during his rookie season? Like, what the hell's going on with that? You've got a guy who's walking around. And removing all available Sixers jokes from the equation, because they're bad, even though they finally got their big win last night. Go Sixers, rah, break them up. Is there no risk reward going on in Jahlil Okafor's mind? Do you think for a second that the guy you're about to exchange blows with has as much on the line in a public fight as you do? Do you think that his career might be in jeopardy if he shatters his hand punching a total stranger the way yours is? I just don't understand. And look, I get it. The follies of youth. Don't go after a guy while his blood is up. They say that in what's the movie? Russell Crowe. What's his name?
Gladiator?
No. L.A.
L.A. Confidential?
Yeah, L.A. Confidential. Easy, Exley. Don't mess with a man while his blood is up.
Gotcha.
You know, one of those things. But still, I mean, here you are. You worked your entire life to get to the NBA. Now you're here, and you're gonna brawl with Sully in a street in Boston. Yeah, I'm gonna go throw punches at Sully and Murph tonight. Why? Why would you do that? It doesn't matter what Sully and Murph are saying. Sully and Murph are going to go back to their wives that, since they're from Boston, they're probably at best 6.5s. They're going to go back to their fat 6.5 wives, their lousy job where they probably just waiting for a snowfall and they push a plow. You're just miserable in Boston. And they're miserable. They're in Boston. They're massholes. The state's crawling with them. Don't ever get into a fight in Boston with anybody. Because the guy in Boston isn't even fighting you. He's just angry that he's in Boston. I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, if I were Jahlil Okafor's agent, I would get his ass on a private plane or put my rear end on a private plane, get in front of him and read them the Riot Act. The NBA suspended him for a couple games because this video, Giannis, hit TMZ.
Yeah.
By the way, TMZ now covers sports better than anybody.
How do they do it? They're everywhere.
I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I mean, people, I think, are just, they know. If you got a little piece of saucy video, you send it to TMZ. They'll go with it. It's just crazy. I mean, it's just HBO Sports. By the way, did you see Bill Simmons bought a $7.5 million house in Malibu?
Life's good for Bill right now.
On Billionaire's Beach, they call it.
Yep.
It's only 1,500 square feet, though.
It's Billionaire's Beach.
Still, Bill, I am surprised. I really am.
These kids need direction. They need babysitters. I mean, if you get to a point, if you get to the level that they're at and you can't handle it, someone needs to step in or you're just going to spiral downward.
It's like every team needs a head coach, you need an assistant coach, you need a GM, and you need chaperones.
You really do.
You need like a team chaperone or someone who gets these guys. Because look, Jahlil Okafor is 20 years old. He's not even old enough to be in clubs.
The kid.
First of all, you try to stop a 20-year-old millionaire who's 7 feet tall from coming in your club. Like, that guy's going to walk in like he owns a place. But legally, he's not even supposed to be in there. If I were a team, I swear to God, I would hire whoever is the best, I don't know, cruise director. I would find the greatest Julie from the Love Boat there is. And I would have her scheduling things to do for my underage NBA players so they don't find themselves brawling with Murph and Sully in an alley in Boston.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Damon, how do you know what's worse than living in Boston? No, excuse me. Do you know what's worse than living in Boston? Living in Cleveland. Oh, well, of course. That goes without saying. Someone's up here. Damon, go be you Terriers. Yeah, sure, go be you. I was always a BC guy myself. And it's got nothing to do with Catholic or Jewish. Okay. Nothing to do. You know that. So if you're going to go to Boston College or you're going to go to Boston University, the Catholics go to BC.
Right.
And if you're Jewish, you go to Be Jew. That's what it's been called forever in Boston. And it's got nothing to do with religious. To me, I grew up during Doug Flutie. Flutie to Phelan. Like, I was a little kid when that happened. And that was like the biggest sports highlight of my little kid life almost that wasn't the Miracle on Ice.
Right.
Or, you know, it gets past Buckner. So. This is great. I love when I bring up something totally random and then okay. Do you want to really know what the most satisfying thing about doing a radio show is? I was thinking about this the other night. The most satisfying thing about hosting a radio show is when you know that this show confirms that people think like I do as well. That's it. Sometimes it confirms that people don't think anything like me. But it also confirms that people are just as weird and as quirky as I am sometimes. I got all this. I just got stuff coming in here. Rolo Tomasi. LA Confidential humor coming in on furiously on the text line.
It's pretty good.
We'll meet you all at the Victory Motel. 888-957-9570. Sam Amick does a great job covering the NBA for the USA Today, also known as USA Today. He's going to join us next. We're going to go in the Warriors. We're going to go around the NBA, and we're going to ask him if Luke Walton should be coaching the All-Star game. That's next here on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Well, the Warriors aren't too far away from tipping off another game and a chance to be 20-0. A 23rd straight win dating back to last season. It is the third longest winning streak in the NBA's history. It was a three-point win over Utah. Tonight, they're looking for number 20. The only other team to ever win 20 games to begin a season is the 1884 Maroons. Oh, and I'm just so sick of those teams. Oh, that 1884 Maroon team. How obnoxious were they? Seriously.
Very.
Oh, they're the worst. Sam Amick from the pages of USA Today does such a good job covering and talking about basketball. He's got a new podcast, and we'll ask him about that in just a little bit. But we got to start, Sam, of course, with the Warriors going for 20-0 tonight. How much do you think the streak really matters to what they're working towards? Is it symbolic? Is there something bigger going on here that is going to help this team? I mean, I think they could lose five games in a row, and my opinion's not changing about this basketball team.
No, I hear you there, Damon. I mean, it is funny to me because they seem so motivated to keep this streak going right now. And, you know, they're not going 82-0. We know that. And so I'm almost curious to see, all right, A, when does the streak end? And then B, what is it like for the 7 to 10 days after that? You know, do they, you know, kind of the human factor might kick in where is it, I would think it'd be hard to not take a breath after two straight months of having, you know, driving so hard and trying to keep this streak going. So, you know, that part is going to be interesting to watch. I think part of it, there's a lot of layers to it. I think that when Steve Kerr is not on the sideline and Luke Walton's there, I think the team just seemed to have had this sense that we got to make sure that we don't take the foot off the pedal, and especially with this adjustment to an interim coach, we got to go out and kind of reinvent ourselves and make sure that we are who we think we are. And then you've got the whole kind of narrative of the offseason and the fact that they didn't really get their just due and as far as the perception around the team, and I think that did tick them off. So, but, I mean, it's been a whole lot more entertaining from my vantage point than I thought it was going to be. Usually championship teams just kind of coast their way through the regular season.
Right, and this is a team that is taking ownership of every moment that is having. And, right. And I don't know if the on-court ownership would be as widespread if Steve Kerr were still in the mix. We're not going to say that his absence is helping this team, but it's motivated this team in a way that no defending champion's ever really been motivated before. And maybe it is a little bit of a difference. We'll get back to that in just a second, Sam. Has any part of this streak come with a signature moment? For me, it's really been like a blur of great basketball that reminds me of really no stretch of basketball I've ever seen. We know that the most exciting moment of the streak were the 3 minutes against Utah when the game was tied, maybe yeah. Overtime against Brooklyn, or what got them to the overtime against Brooklyn, and then they blew them out in OT. But is there one signature moment here?
There's a few. I mean, you mentioned the Utah game, so you kind of have the recency bias thing where that's what we remember the most.
That was just a great game. Like, Utah played awesome in that game, too, which made it great.
But one moment did stick in my head in that game. The Jazz go on a 14-3 run. They take the lead. Steph had been on the bench. And I remember at the time thinking to myself, like, geez, as good as this team is, when Steph is not on the floor, then it's just you see the difference. And he comes back in, and he buries that pull-up three. It was contested. And the cameras caught him as the somebody called the timeout, a break in the action. The Warriors are going back to their bench. And Steph was yelling at the guys. And all he yelled was, let's go. But he yelled as if it was like mid-May, mid-June, not mid-November. He just kind of had this fire in his eyes where you could tell he just didn't want to lose the game. You know, the other one that comes to mind, I think the Clippers games are always going to be in a category all by themselves. But to come back, I mean, what was it, 21 or 23 in that one Clippers game, and then being down 10 in the other one, and to have part of this streak be getting the best of a team that you're rivals with in the Clippers. I think that's pretty memorable. But it's just been something else.
Sam Amick from USA Today. Hey, maybe the toughest matchup already happened in Utah, given that environment. But looking at the rest of this road trip, they got six games left. Toronto, Indiana, Boston. Which stands out to you as the toughest matchup?
Well, I mean, first of all, this has, I think, been kind of under the radar a little bit. I mean, the Harrison Barnes thing matters. They're a little bit, you know, they've been so healthy for so long. So I'm watching that a little bit on this road trip. Brandon Rush has had some good moments, and that's a nice luxury to plug a guy like that in. But, you know, the Barnes thing matters. As far as the schedule, you know, Toronto will be a tough game. What's funny, though, is that you get Brooklyn on a back-to-back the next night. And so who knows? You're talking about, you know, you got the travel factor. These guys are – it's Toronto and Brooklyn. Are,
right.
You know, every guy's got his own habits, but
right.
Those are fun cities. Who knows if they're going out a bit?
Yeah. You got to chase DeRozan and Lowry around the court tonight.
Sure,
your legs
sure.
are not going to be fresh the next night.
Yeah. And, I mean, if they are lucky enough – and I shouldn't use that taboo word in relation to the Warriors – but if they get to the end of this road trip and they still are keeping this thing going and they're winning every night, the Boston-Milwaukee back-to-back is going to be a doozy because you're talking seven games, I think, in 13 nights at that point. You got to imagine the fatigue factor's kicking in. And I believe, and this was something that I saw on Twitter yesterday, that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think anybody's ever gone 7-0 on a road trip in the history of the league. That was an Elias Sports Bureau stat. But I think
you are correct, sir.
Yeah. So even in the midst of this historical streak, you've got this kind of subplot that is just kind of worth remembering. It is extremely hard, and obviously something is a reason nobody's ever done it.
It's like
that many games on the road.
It's like streak inception. It's a streak within a streak. Sam Amick from USA Today. Is Luke Walton going to be allowed to coach the Western Conference All-Star team?
That's a good question. I mean, I was reporting on that situation yesterday. He is eligible for the awards. I would certainly think so. I mean, call it an award, call it an honor. I'll have to follow up with the league, and I have not asked them that question. I would certainly think so. They are treating it as if he gets all the perks except for the record itself. Their stance, and what's fascinating about it is, you know, they – chewed on this one long and hard, and I honestly felt a few days ago that it was going to go the other way and that Luke Walton was going to get credit for all these wins, and a couple things got stuck in the league's proverbial craw. One was that, say you're in Philadelphia and Brett Brown gets sick or something happens and he has an interim coach. For one, it's not going to be your philosophy. The opposite scenario could be a PR nightmare. If a guy's 0-15 and he's never been a head coach before and that's how his head coaching record starts,
right,
that's pretty rough. And so that is why they just are sticking with the way that they're going to do it. I think he should have that right to go coach that All-Star team. That'd be great.
I think he should, too. How about this for a theory? You tell me if this sounds insane or plausible to you just because of Steve Kerr's nature. Let's say the Warriors keep this up, and they're about as close to perfect as you can get, right when Steve Kerr is actually starting to feel good enough to rejoin this team. Is there any chance that Steve Kerr would stay away to simply not mess up a winning formula? He's kind of that level of unselfish, but I don't know if anybody's that unselfish.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, for one, and I keep banging this drum, he's not as MIA as everybody thinks. Now, listen, he's gone, and it's a significant loss. But at home, he's going to most practices. He's going to shoot-arounds at home games. He's there in the back room, even at halftime, talking with Luke, sharing observations on the game, and then Luke will address the team. So his voice, that's the important thing. I don't think this team... It's not a complete disconnect between the players and Steve Kerr. It's certainly not what it would be if he was actually coaching. But there, he does have a presence. And I think the genius of Luke having taken the reins here and the fact that his sensibilities, his personality are so in line with Steve is that, you know, once Steve gets back on that sideline, I think it's going to be pretty seamless. It's not as if, hypothetically, say they had somebody else in that position who just their style was night and day from the way Steve did things, and say even it worked. Well, then you'd have to really wonder about, is that going to cause a problem and maybe mess things up when the actual head coach comes back. But this is not that. I mean, this is Luke doing a heck of a job as a stand-in, learning leaps and bounds along the way. You know, that part fascinates me. As a coach,
yeah,
you talk about developing quickly and just getting some great experience. You know, Luke, I've talked to Luke about it. He's loving it. But he's the first to say that he can't wait until Steve gets back.
Sam Amick from USA Today. Real quickly, tell me about your podcast, and I'm sure you're talking about Kobe on the podcast. Tell me about the podcast, and what did you think of the way Kobe announced his retirement?
No, it's fun stuff, man. I appreciate the plug, Damon. We chop it up, myself and Jeff Zilgit, who cover the league together at our place, and our editor, Kevin Spain. We have guests on. In fact, not to publicly put him on the spot, but Andrew Bogut, I believe, is going to come on next week, so that should be fun. So it's kind of a deeper dive into the NBA discussion. We just did an episode the other day, and it was Kobe and Jahlil Okafor were the two main topics. Both of them varying degrees of ugly, one much more grave than the other. But Kobe's, he's playing the worst basketball of his career, and I'm really happy for him. And I think it was a wise move for him to announce the retirement when he did, because it's almost become one of those things now where, it doesn't matter how bad he is from now until the end. There's a finish line. He's not being delusional anymore with these thoughts of possibly playing beyond this season. And so I think it's okay to appreciate what he's done and kind of let him have his victory lap. And at this rate, to be honest, it's starting to look like the Lakers are going to be so bad that maybe they wind up holding on to their draft pick, which nobody thought they'd be able to do. But, he's one of the greats, and he'll be gone soon, and hopefully he can hit a few shots along the way.
All right, real quick, we're going to do 5 questions in 1 minute. Are you ready?
I'm ready, buddy.
Are the Rockets the biggest dog in the NBA?
No, that's your Sixers.
Yeah, but we didn't expect anything from them. The Rockets were in the Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah, well, I'm down on the Sixers because of the human component. Their culture, not to take Jahlil Okafor off the hook because he's his own man, but I just think it's an unhealthy culture they've got these athletes playing in. But I hear you. The Rockets are a mess. And now they, for one, they're not going to change their coach again, at least not anytime soon. And they're shell-shocked because they got Ty Lawson. They thought that he was one of the best additions of the offseason. And it doesn't matter what context they put him in right now. He's not playing good basketball, and he's not playing really all that much. I mean, you got Jason Terry playing over him. So they don't – and I talked to them yesterday – they don't really know what to do. They're pretty, I mean, considering that they were against the Warriors in those conference finals not too long ago, it's been pretty tough.
True or false, San Antonio is the second best team in the league. Don't buy Cleveland.
Cleveland's really good, but yeah, I go with the Spurs on that. I mean, they're getting it done. LaMarcus Aldridge isn't even playing that well, and he's still adjusting to that system. Kawhi's been a beast and an MVP candidate, I think maybe number 2 right behind Steph. So I'm definitely buying the Spurs over Cleveland.
True or false, the Clippers will finish outside the top 5 in the West?
Ooh, man, good question. Yeah, I'm going to say false. I think they get it together.
True or false, Curry can't be considered. Paul George is the MVP.
No, that is a big capital F false. I think Curry's the guy. I thought.
No. Curry, you can't vote for Curry. You got to give it to someone else.
Matt Paul? Oh, geez, you're putting me on the spot, Damon. I haven't crunched the numbers.
How dare you not crunch the numbers before you do an interview with us?
I did look at Paul's numbers. You know what? You know, this is not, I'm not in a court of law here. I'll go with that. Paul's numbers, because here's the thing. He is significantly better than he was before he got hurt, which is unbelievable. And they're one of the surprise teams of the year. So if it's not him, it's a close race. He's certainly right there.
Always good to talk to you, Sam. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Appreciate your time.
You got it, Damon. Thanks, buddy.
Sam Amick, USA Today. Always good stuff with him. When we come on back, we got a call or two to get to, and the realities of the Warriors winning north of 70 games. Right now, it's got a better than a coin flip's chance of happening, which is insane. Stick around.
The Damon Bruce Show. 95.7 The Game.
Coming up next hour, We're going to get into a whole bunch of NFL with Trey Wingo, the host of ESPN's NFL Live, when he joins us at 4 o'clock. Vic Tafer just tweeted that the NFL may force the Oakland Raiders, if they cannot be part of the stadium plan down in L.A., which is a story we're about to get to in a little bit. There is a chance that Stan Kroenke might offer cohabitation to the Chargers and leave the Raiders at the altar and blow up all the plans the Raiders and Chargers may have had together. Although the lawyers will be coming. The NFL may force the Raiders to play at Levi's Stadium. I am not making this stuff up. I am not making this up. I just retweeted it from Vic Tafer. Sounds like the NFL may try and force the Raiders to play at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. He didn't follow that up with a time frame or if that indeed was guaranteed to happen or anything like that. But, somebody here has immediately said, look, might not be ideal, but I'd take that over the Raiders moving to L.A. any day. The very first thing the Button Vixen said, who is this show's permanent Raider fan, was, I'd rather go to L.A. Nobody wants to go to Santa Clara. See, Santa Clara might have worked if it had been designed as it's equidistant between both Oakland and San Francisco, so this joint stadium, just to be fair, will be at the bottom of the bay, since both of these two cities sit opposite each other from the top of the bay. Like, it would have made a little bit more sense if this had been the plan all along, but it's not the plan all along, and we've actually now seen the results. Now that we know what Levi's Stadium is, in my mind, no football fan in their right mind would ever want the Raiders to play there, and it's just, can you see Raider fans taking over the Michael Mena tailgate with 14 course suppers and stuff? I just can't see that in my mind. I would much rather go to a football game at the Coliseum than Levi's Stadium. How about this? Why don't we force the Raiders to stay at the Coliseum? That place is fine as a football stadium, and force the A's to finally get the hell out of there and take care of their own business in a stadium that's built for a baseball team. Not that thing. Wouldn't that be nice? Real quick, I got Chris, who is visiting from Boston, probably taking a little umbrage with me just teasing Bostonians a little earlier on in the show. How are you, Chris? Welcome to the Bay.
Hey, how are you? What's your name, Dave?
Damon,
I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with the show. I just caught it on the radio.
That's all right. What, are you in town for a little family, a little holiday, a little business?
Some joyriding, to be honest. I've never been back here. On the West Coast, just enjoying it.
Nice. You will find what I was really getting at is there's not this permanent level of misery that hangs over the Bay Area for a 6-month period, the way it hangs over really all of New England throughout six can't go outside, it's too cold winter months. And I'm an East Coast guy originally, so I know what I'm talking about. I grew up shoveling sidewalks and ice scrapers, man. It's nice to not live with them.
Have you been a Boston sports fan in the last 15 years?
No, I've not been a Boston sports fan in the last 15 years, but apparently everyone in Boston did jump on the bandwagon in the last 15. Look at it this way. I grew up in Schenectady, New York, I'll tell you right now, I never met a New England Patriot fan until Bill Belichick showed up, all right?
Trust me, man, I 100% agree with you there, but here's my problem with your story. My problem with your story is that instead of trashing Jahlil Okafor and everything that he did and making it a story about Jahlil Okafor, you decided to take the contrarian and stir the pot, view, and you took shots at Bostonians.
Chris, some of these are jokes, but I'll say this. If you want... There's no city that knuckles up faster than Boston with a whole bunch of drunk meathead frat guys walking around. Like, I've seen guys try to threaten little girls wearing Yankee jerseys walking past Fenway. So it's just a city that if you're looking for a little sports trouble, you'll find it as fast there as you were in Philadelphia.
And you know what my thing is that if you're in a city where, you know, there's like 15 championships rings or zero, there's no way that there's not going to be a heckler if somebody walks onto your turf. There's absolutely no way. So you can't fault the Boston fans for heckling.
I wasn't. Chris, some of these are jokes, like I said. You know, the thing you're going to find out, the thing you'll find out if you spend out here.
Now you're backing away, though.
No, I'm not backing away.
You're backing away a little bit.
I'm not backing away from anything. I never intended it as the forward message, but because you're such a rabbit ears up Bostonian, the minute you heard something, you had to call a radio show whose host you didn't know the name of, whose station you've never listened to before, to defend a town that is known for being prickly.
Okay.
You've heard of massholes, right? You've heard of massholes? I'm not making this up.
I'm not saying that they don't exist.
I'm saying they do. My point. No. No. We don't end this on your terms. We'll end it on mine. Thank you very much. My whole point, which you sort of proved, is look at how quickly anyone from Boston is to fight. Anyone from Boston is ready to fight at any time, which means you don't fight anybody from Boston because the whole city's ready to fight you at any point in time. So enough. Enough, enough, enough. But welcome to the Bay Area. And have yourself a wonderful trip. I really do hope you enjoy yourself. And if you're looking for a great little drive around, you got to get up. Do the highway one around Stinson Beach. You'll love it. It's like driving in a car commercial. One would even say a Sonnen Porsche Boxster car commercial. Stick around. Trey Wango joins me next.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.